Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is my favorite part, right here.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
You know, and I travel in from the double wide in East St. Louis. There's a point between Harlem and, what are we, Central? Harlem and Central on the Eisenhower? Where's that Cicero? Mary, I've only driven it for 20-plus years. How do I not know the roads?
Cicero, probably.
And you know the part where you just crest the hill, and on a beautiful sunny morning, the sun's coming up over the lake, and the skyline for the most beautiful skyline in the world is backlit, essentially. And just take your breath away. You go, how lucky are you to work in this city?
You know, it's funny. That's always the time where I think about it, too, when you're either driving in, even if it's no matter what time of the year.
Yeah.
If it's dark, obviously, in the wintertime, and the skyline's still lit up, or just like you said now. When the sun's rising.
It's like out towards the planetarium. There's that isthmus. That I don't even know what the street is. The street that you drive out to the planetarium. You know what I'm talking about?
McFetridge.
Isthmus.
McFetridge.
Street.
Yeah.
It's not Isthmus Street.
Isthmus Street.
And that, to me, is the best view of the skyline in the city. Because
I agree.
It's a full sweep from the Willis Tower to the Hancock, right? So just take your breath away. I mean, we're very, very lucky to be here. So... at that point, I did something that I don't normally do, which is quite mature for me.
Oh, no.
I shut off all the Trump news and just let silence and peace into the car for about 45 seconds. And then I turned it back on and heard some of the things that had gone on, and we'll get to those here in a little bit with the top six at six. But for those 45 seconds, I was at peace.
I thought you were going to say you stopped in the middle of the Eisenhower and just
and started
observed
singing.
Things.
Why do birds, though?
Right. Yeah.
You mean you didn't enjoy Trump's speech to the Boy Scouts?
It's inexplicable.
Yeah.
It's just inexplicable.
Got a little
we'll
weird.
Get to the top six at six in a second. First at 6:12. Let me tell you what's coming up on the show today, because it's another busy one. Coach Fitz will be live in studio shortly. Chris Kennedy wants to be your next governor. He will be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. Dean is allegedly on today. Is Dean canceled yet today?
As of now, no.
Okay, so
no flight to Detroit.
Okay.
No sickness.
It's good. We like Dean. And Orion Samuelson later, because, you know, as this immigration discussion that's gone on forever continues, who's going to harvest the crops this fall?
Well, they're going to need farmers to obviously harvest them.
Well, I mean, but where are you going to find all the other folks?
All the workers. Yeah. Good point.
Ask him, too, about health care, because a lot of farmers have Affordable Care Act.
That procedural vote scheduled today, and in the past few minutes, Donald Trump tweeted that John McCain's a hero for coming back.
Now he's a hero.
He's a hero now. He wasn't a hero when he was a prisoner of war, but he's a hero now because he's coming back to vote on the procedural vote for health care. A tweet storm up and running already. I give you a theory on Trump's attack on Jeff Sessions this morning as well, which I think is the only theory that holds any water, not because it's mine, just because it makes sense. At 6:13, let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, the governor has recalled the lawmakers to Springfield for a special session on school funding. This is using the powers of the governor's office appropriately. You know, this is how you battle Mike Madigan. Mike, why should I do my job when nobody makes me do my job? Madigan. So there is a special session called today on school funding. Downstate Republicans have not so quietly threatened to abandon the governor during re-election next year. Is it next year already?
Mm-hmm.
It is next year. next year if he gives an inordinate amount of funding to Chicago and not an appropriate amount of funding, as they see it, to outstate and downstate schools. That remains to be seen, but the lawmakers have to come back to Springfield today. Now, here's what you need to watch. Once the lawmakers are called back, it's up to the Speaker of the House to call the House to session. So let's see if Mike Madigan actually puts his people to work as the governor has ordered.
Absolutely. By the way, the first school aid payments from the state have to go out by August 10th. That's not, you know, there's no leeway on that. Exactly.
Emergency. You're a month away from kids going back to school.
Right.
So in some cases, a little less than that. Item number two. Senate Republican leaders are pushing for a vote today to begin debating a repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Remember, the appeal is political. The replacement is policy. The policy of the replacement is what? Anyone? Anyone?
Go ahead.
Anyone? Anyone? It's the House bill.
Yeah.
The House bill seems to be the one that they're going to take a vote on, the one that was roundly panned, the one that had 16% approval by the public, those who paid enough attention to look at the highlights of it. That's the bill they should be debating if that's the procedural vote is passed today. It'd be interesting if McCain comes back and votes no.
Oh, my gosh.
Just comes back, stands up, and goes, no. No.
Is that the bill that the president called mean? Is that the
yeah.
one?
Or... Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He, by the way, really thinks they should go ahead and vote because he hasn't paid any attention because he's been very busy on Twitter this morning. Mm-hmm. And in addition to his rantings and ravings that would come with any given day, he's on Twitter this morning. And for people who want to talk about press covers the wrong thing, the press covers the president. The media covers the president. The president could be talking solely about health care this morning. Could be talking about the need for a tax bill. Could be talking about an infrastructure bill. Could be talking about all of those things. The president starts these fires. They have to be covered. That's the job. Mm-hmm. So now the president's tweets are mostly involving calling his attorney general, his appointed attorney general, the guy who was loyal to him first and longest, Jeff Sessions, Barney Fife, couldn't be more loyal. He's a Labrador retriever in the cabinet.
Yep.
And he is calling him weak. Yesterday he was beleaguered. Today his opinions are weak. Oh, and by the way, he tied in Hillary Clinton as well.
How about that?
Again, while nobody else is talking about Hillary Clinton, the White House is now trying to get some sort of dialogue going and some sort of narrative going that all the Russian secrets are now with Hillary Clinton.
It's unbelievable.
She's in a tree fort in the woods in New York.
Uh-huh. He tweeted about it twice. I'm just curious. I'd love to see Jeff Sessions just kind of pull up his little bootstraps and say, you know what? We're going to start investigating you.
Well, Jeff Sessions, to me, the worst thing he could do right now is resign. Force him to fire you.
Yeah.
Because Trump's the ultimate bully. How many of you know people like this in your life? I know people like this in your life. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people like this in show business. They're real tough on the air. They're real tough, talking to in public. Face-to-face, they're cowards. Remember how Trump fired the head of the FBI by courier?
Yes. And how we found out about it on television.
Yeah. The FBI director found out about it. Comey. Now, here's how he's going to fire Mueller. He's going to try to force Sessions out by resigning and then make a recess appointment. The recess appointment would last for about a year and a half. And sometime during that, whoever would be foolish enough to take the job sooner than later would be told, I want you to fire Mueller. I want Mueller out. Mm-hmm. If all of this doesn't start impeachment proceedings, nothing ever will.
Oh, I agree.
And when at some point will the Democrats stand up? The Democrats are completely gutless as well. You know what the Democrats did yesterday? The Democrats came out with their brand new plan yesterday. You know what their brand new plan is? A better deal. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the chills I'm getting? You getting the same sort of chills? What a hot slogan. A better deal. That's what the Democrats came out with yesterday.
It seems like the Democrats are literally sitting back and just saying, well, we're going to watch this unfold. Instead of being proactive and starting to do...
Well, you're being kind. I wouldn't even be that kind of them.
Yeah.
Get off your asses.
They scheduled
to save the country.
They scheduled their announcement yesterday at the moment that Jared Kushner was doing this stuff in the Senate. Nobody is going to pay attention to them while all that other stuff is going on.
Completely clueless. Just an embarrassment. Here's the tweet storm of the morning. Donald J. Trump, your president. Obamacare is torturing the American people. The Democrats have fooled the people long enough. Repeal or repeal and replace. I have pen in hand. Why don't you take the pen and jam yourself in the eye? Because right now, the pen in hand that you have doesn't mean anything to the rest of us, because all you're using it for is protecting Donald Trump. He also says, so great that John McCain is coming back to vote. Brave American hero. Thank you, John. That's the same coward as a candidate who said, I like people who don't get caught.
Right. I don't like prisoners of war.
He said, I like people that, specifically, this is important. He said, I like people that don't get caught.
Right.
He was shot down in an airplane. That's how he got caught.
Yeah.
And then spent 5 years of his life that he'll never get back again.
In a POW camp.
But now he's a hero because he's coming back to vote on this. I got one more. Jared Kushner did very well yesterday in proving he did not collude with the Russians. Witch hunt. Next up, 11-year-old Barron Trump. What does that mean?
Meaning that what are they going to go after Barron Trump now? Which, by the way, the president is doing exactly what he asked the media and everybody else not to do, is not bring Barron Trump into anything political.
It's the only time he's brought up his kid. He doesn't bring up his kid like, hey, we're going to the park, because he doesn't know where the park is. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, hey, I had a catch with Barron yesterday. Hey, you wouldn't believe how great Barron's doing in school. Hey, big adjustment for Barron and Melania to come to Washington, but they're doing great. By the way, does he ever mention Tiffany?
Nope.
No. 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 He's a bad, bad guy. He's not just a terrible president. He's a bad guy. Derrick Rose is a Cleveland Cavalier for the next year, apparently because Kyrie Irving's leaving. Let's go live to Dave. He's in Cleveland right now, standing outside the Quicken Loans Arena. Dave, you should be in studio here.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet here in Cleveland right now, Steve.
Yes. Yes. Why is Derrick Rose the right answer for Cleveland?
Well, I don't know that he is the right answer for Cleveland. And I don't know that this is necessarily related to Kyrie Irving expressing his desire to go elsewhere, because apparently they were already talking to Rose, at least before the Irving thing became public. And at this point, if Derrick Rose is replacing Kyrie Irving, then the Cleveland Cavaliers are in big trouble. If he's going to be a backup and play limited minutes, then, yeah, he might have some value to him, and that's probably what they intended when they started talking to him.
So where's Kyrie Irving going to go?
Nobody knows right now. I mean, supposedly Minnesota is on his list. And Antonio's...
Golden State would make the most sense.
Yeah, sure. Just get everybody.
The last two teams in the NBA are Golden State and Cleveland.
Well, it's pretty much... Yeah, everybody plays for Cleveland or Golden State.
That's it.
Except not so much Cleveland anymore. And reporting live from Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
And finally, let's go to the Arctic Circle, where Andre Darlis is standing by. Did you bring a scarf?
I did bring a scarf because it is the Arctic Circle and it is quite cold.
The global warming is reducing the extent of sea ice in the Arctic. I don't need to tell you. You're looking at it. And a lot of ships, cargo carriers, and sea liners taking tourists to see the region. And see its natural beauty, maybe seeing a lot more water than ice now.
Mm-hmm. Andre, so, you see any polar bears there while you're
let
there?
Let me look. Hold on. Way off in the distance. Yeah,
but
a family.
When you have free-floating ice like that,
yes,
and you've got tourist ships, aren't you looking for the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald sort of scenario, or the Titanic or something like
gonna
that?
You're going to be looking for something, that's for sure.
Are you concerned?
I am very concerned.
Or are you
more
cold?
I'm cold and concerned, because the last time I was here, what I was seeing were very tall icebergs and glaciers, and now I'm seeing very diminished results of that, Steve.
How are the penguins?
Penguins are way off in the distance near the polar bear family.
All right.
I'm not getting close enough. I don't trust them.
All right, and you're where again?
I'm live from the Arctic Circle, Andrea Darlis, WGN News. Steve, back to you and Dave in the nice warm studios of WGN.
Well, I'm going to need you both back here. Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-minute bin. We're back after this at 6:23. Mary Traffic. Ooh. 6:27. I really want to get off this politics thing, so let's try to do that as fast as possible. Both parties are beyond a mess. Both parties are an embarrassment. The Democrats are killing Illinois. The Republicans are killing Washington. The Democrats are complicit in Washington and not doing their part to fight the fight. So I would encourage the rest of you to not be blind to your own party and just go, well, I've always been a Republican, or I've always been a Democrat, and be an American. Be an American and decide what's best for you and what's best for your family. And find candidates that reflect that view, or run yourself. And I'm not being flip at all. We need to replace everybody. You know what we need to do? Repeal and replace every elected official in Springfield and Washington. That's what we need to repeal or replace. Replace them all.
That's a, you know what? That's not a bad idea. With a clean slate.
And it's too bad because there are some good people in both areas, but the good people are drowned out by the bad. And if we could just flip a switch, I'd do it at this point. I don't care about any politician that wants to save their job. I really don't. It's not my concern. And mostly because you're not concerned about anybody that would like to save their job because you're not doing yours. So the health care bill is as follows. Yeah, we don't know. That's it.
I was going to say, we're going to get some information now.
We don't know. We believe it's the House bill. And today's vote, there has to be 50 yes votes on proceeding to floor debate on the health care bill. If they get those 50 votes, debate will start. There is no limit on the number of amendments that could be added or debated about for whatever the final bill is. Once that bill is complete, it would be sent over to the House. The House would then have their chance to take a whack at it, and then we move on from there. There will be no sudden solution. There will be no answer to what happens. Your Obamacare will not be taken away anytime soon, if at all. But there will be a lot of talk about it as it goes forward. So just know today, in all the coverage of today, today is about as boring as it gets from a procedural standpoint in the Senate. It's a vote to debate what may or may not be the bill that goes to the House, which would likely have to be changed again. Now, the debate could be entertaining because, you know, the amendments that will be added could be entertaining. But,
well, entertaining, using that word a little loosely.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I got to never watch C-SPAN, I guess. That'd probably be an answer. Look, that's the healthcare piece of this. And frankly, it matters way more than anything else you're going to hear about today because it entails it's 20% of the American economy is healthcare coverage. So 50 votes are needed, and that's what Mitch McConnell is smacking himself on his hypocritical weasel back today about. What a great guy he is. All right, I really don't want to talk about politics anymore. Is there anything else we have to talk about?
Well, I'll do a little in the big story just about the Trump rally.
All right, I'm not
going to
interrupt you.
Yesterday.
I'm making a pledge right now to not interrupt you. Oh, that Boy Scout thing. Oh, I got to talk
about
the
Boy
Scout
thing. I know.
Oh.
You can't not.
I mean, anybody who knows a Boy Scout is just livid this morning.
Well, anybody, when you start off a rally saying, who the hell wants to talk about politics, and that is the direct quote.
And then you proceed to do a political speech. All right, we'll take a break. I'll interrupt you and train wreck your big story in just a second.
Perfect.
Stand by for that.
I'm ready for it.
Before we get to that, let's get to this break on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Well, here we go. I mean, this is one of the best days of the year. Who's busier than Coach Fitz? We actually get to see him in person. Now, Dave, I know you see him in person all the time, but the rest of us, we rarely get a chance to see him.
I haven't seen him for a while.
And nice to see you, Coach. Welcome to Big Ten Media Day.
It's great to be here. It's going to be a fun, exciting day. Looking forward to it.
And we're always excited to be to continue the partnership from Jim Phillips to you to Chris Collins to this incredible run Northwestern Sports is on.
Yeah, it's been a pretty magical year. The good news is it's over. It's time to raise the bar and start back over. So exciting times. You know, you think about the talking season is almost over, and we're about ready to get going and play some football.
We don't have many expectations, just a big win, a Big Ten West title and a solid bowl run. You cool with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the next destination. There's no question. I mean, we've been pretty consistent as a winner over the last decade,
yep.
But that's not good enough. And taking the next step is what the challenge is, and the guys have worked really hard to get us ready.
A decade.
Yeah, it's going to be year 12.
How about that?
Isn't that amazing?
Speaking of that, your coach, the run for walk on Sunday. Yes, Dave, is that right?
Sunday, yes.
On Sunday, we want to get a plug-in for that at least a couple of times here and make sure that you know registration is still open for the 6th annual run for walk. 4.1-mile run or walk if you prefer in honor of Randy Walker that ends at the 50 at Ryan Field. Pretty special day for that, too.
Yeah, I did it the first year. And that was a mistake on my part. I went way too hard. I ran way too hard. I was like, all right, pride got going a little bit, and I was hurting for like a week.
I actually saw you coming back. You were running. You were coming back. We were like jogging out, and you're already on your way back with the headphones on and intense.
Catastrophic mistake. Yeah, it was a mistake. It was
not competitive enough. Was there a lesson you could teach the kids from that?
Yeah, moderation, right? Just take it easy. Slow and steady goes the turtle, I guess.
All right, so, Dave, preview of the season. What do you like?
Well, first of all, I know you're not into – it's not about individual honors necessarily, but your guys are popping up on all the preseason watch lists, of which there are many. They came out with a preseason all-Big Ten list yesterday. They call it the players to watch. There's 10 of them, 5 from each division, 4 schools placed, 2 each, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. I mean, I realize that's not what it's all about, but those are indicators, right, that you're going to have a good team.
Well, at least, you know, from an experience standpoint coming back, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the 3 young men that I have with me here for Media Day today, you know, quarterback Clayton Thorson, you've watched his maturation on the field. I mean, there's no, I think, more experienced quarterback in not only in our conference but also in the country from a standpoint of what he's been through. And he's just really grown. And then Justin Jackson, I mean, is there anybody tougher? He and Saquon Barkley, from a returning running back standpoint, I don't know if, again, in any other conference or anywhere else in the country, has 2 more marquee running backs. And Justin's just been so durable and so tough. And then Godwin Igwe-Buike, you know, we had an evaluation last year by the NFL and, you know, came back that he would – you know, maybe would go mid-rounds, and he and his family made a decision to come back, and, you know, he's just a spectacular football player.
So great for Northwestern and probably great for him as well.
Yeah, you know, right decision, in my opinion, based on the information that we received. But, you know, it's exciting to have those type of guys. And then, you know, we're not talking about Garrett Dickerson, who got snubbed for the Mackey list as the top tight end in the country that, you know, maybe one of our best leaders on the team.
You got a lot of guys coming back. It's a veteran team. I mean, you have some young guys will be in the mix. The question I always get asked is, well, you lost Austin Carr, the best receiver in the Big Ten. And my response is, well, a year ago, I didn't hear anybody Media Day mention Austin Carr's
Maybe
name.
Maybe just me.
Maybe you.
We had this kid named Carr who, I think, had a good spring. Yeah, well, that's a neat thing about college football, right? I mean, every year 20 to 25% of your team graduates and moves mm-hmm. forward in their life. And, you know, that's a lot of turnover. And through that becomes opportunity. And a year ago, really, over the last 2 years, Austin really stepped up. You know, maybe 2 years ago, not as much as he did last year being a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award. You know, who will it be this year? That's what we'll figure out during training camp. You know, you look at what Flynn Nagel did throughout spring and some other guys. But it's going to be no question in my mind someone will step up and be ready for that.
Obviously, it was a tremendous conference season for you once you guys got going. And then great bowl win,
yeah.
But you started off not so good. Is that something that your guys, you feel, learned a lesson from, a hard lesson, getting off to that 1-3 start?
Well, we had outcomes that we earned. You know, we sure didn't play very well, which obviously that means we didn't coach the guys up very well, which was a little bit of an anomaly. I mean, you think back to our previous 10 seasons, and we were really good in the opener. We were really good in the kind of non-conference, or now it's going to become, I guess, early season because we're going to start playing Big Ten games starting this year, but we will next year, in the opener. So, yeah, we didn't start the right way, but, you know, the last 9 games, especially offensively, we turned it around, averaging over 30 points per game, you know, in comparison to about 16 in the first 4 games. So, you know, we have to take that momentum and carry it on. I thought we did through the bowl game and then, through spring ball. And we'll see how it goes this fall.
What did you learn from that? Because, as you say, it was an anomaly. To go 1-3 had to surprise you better, more than anybody else.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I think I mismanaged things through the end of camp. We had some guys get a little banged up, and I kind of took my foot off the gas. It went from being, let's drive the guys, let's keep pushing them, to we're an injury. We're at the tipping point here, and that's kind of how we played. We played a little bit, I think, timid. We played a little bit on our heels initially, and then we had to add some competitive depth. We had some guys really not play maybe to the way we thought they would early, and that next group of guys really didn't push that group of starters. So, you know, just some management things that I think I would do differently.
But from circumstances, when you got guys that are banged up and you don't want to crush everybody in the first week or two of the season, I don't know how you could have changed that, could you?
Well, it didn't work, so yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those that you try to go down a road, you think you've right. got a good solution, you believe it's going to work out. And we didn't play very well in the opener. Now you fast forward to the end of the year, and that team that we played ends up playing in the Cotton Bowl and had a really magical season. But we went back into a camp mentality for the next 3 weeks,
right.
And you know, a negative byproduct of it was the way we played, and we didn't have any legs against ISU, and it definitely looked that way. And I still thought we could win the game, and we ended up ending it on the short end. But that turned our season around from a standpoint that we got our edge back, and yeah, we maybe didn't see it. right away. You know, we beat Duke, we lose to Nebraska, but it definitely turned the season around.
What's the biggest question you have about this team going to camp?
Well, who's going to be our two starting tackles on offense? You know, I think we've got seven guys in the mix for those two, really four spots, the two starters and the two backups. But I'm not ready to say who those four guys are. And that competition is going to unfold until it's won, and it may continue on into the season. We're not going to sit here and have the same situation we had a year ago where our competitive depth wasn't where it needed to be. So it's going to be a very interesting battle between those seven guys to see who
could all seven play?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But that's a great position to be in for
you.
Well,
you know, now are all seven good enough for us to win the West? I can't answer that yet. Nobody's hit them back. They've looked good in shorts, you know, running around. But, you know, we'll see when some of those freak athletes that play defensive end come around the corner on them.
Coach, looking at the Big Ten, who I can ask this question. It might be a little loaded because I know the answer is not going to be Illinois. But who are the programs that kind of you think are really the ones to watch this year, aside from yours?
Well, in the West, you know, I mean, Wisconsin is the perennial champion. I mean, they've what, four of the last six or something like that. I mean, they've really done a spectacular job and had coach turnover through that. And so, you know, to see the job that Paul Chryst has done since he's been there, I've got a ton of respect for the job he's done. You know, Kirk Ferentz is is he the longest tenured coach in the country now, I believe?
He is at FBS.
And, you know, our battles with Iowa, you know, since 95 have been just awesome. And it's going to continue, I think, to be that way. And then Mike Riley now going into year three at Nebraska. Year three, I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, probably on our side would be the discussion that at least I've read. And then on the other side, I think Ohio State, Michigan, and then, you know, the great job Penn State did last year. Coach Franklin, you know, leading that team to a championship speaks for itself. And I think Michigan State will be back. Mark D'Antonio's had a great run there, and I think an anomaly year, hopefully, you know, for them. So, you know, I think as you look at the conference on both sides, I think those are probably the top eight teams, maybe nine teams that everybody's talking about.
Every minute of Northwestern football here on 720 WGN. Now, Dave, home field. What games are you looking forward most to calling this fall from the Dave Innit broadcast booth?
Well,
Hall of Famer.
First of all, homecoming is Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your first Big Ten home game. You play five conference home games for the first time this year. I like the way the schedule sets up. I mean, I think it's you have a lot of drama early in the conference season. You go to Wisconsin, then you play Penn State. I know you're not that far ahead.
No. But, I mean, you talk about that stuff early in camp.
Yeah, I mean,
you
know,
let's look at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a critical time for you. You have a tough non-conference road trip to Duke, mm-hmm. Opening with Nevada. But this having five conference games at home, last year you had to go on the road for five Big Ten games. First time you played nine games in the conference.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a challenge. There's no doubt playing nine league games. I mean, we're, you know, only a couple of us as conferences are doing that, and it's you'd much rather have the five at home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going to have a pretty challenging 2-week stretch of Big Ten play when you go play, you know, in Camp Randall against the Big Ten West, you know, champion from last year, and then come home and play the Big Ten East champion in Penn State. But if we look at that as being what defines our season, we're going to have the same outcome we had last year and look beyond the first 3 weeks. And, you know, obviously we put ourselves in a big hole, and I'm really proud of the way the guys responded. But for us to achieve our goals, we have to start fast, and we've got to be much better in the first 3 weeks of the season than we were a year ago.
I want to get another plug-in for the Run for Walk. Hang with us for a second so we can get traffic in here from Mary. What's happening, Mary, right now? Coach Fitz live in studio, Northwestern football on 720 WGN. Again, want to remind you, the Run for Walk, 4.1-mile run in honor of former NU head coach Randy Walker. You can still sign up. Matter of fact, you can sign up right till the morning, Sunday morning. Sunday morning? It is Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Yeah. So we hope you'll support it. It's a great thing. Oh, and season tickets on sale for Northwestern football at 888-GO-PURPLE. Single game tickets go on sale next Tuesday. So get your tickets. Dave, you had another question, another deeply personal probing football question you wanted to ask Coach?
Well, I don't know how deeply probing it is, but you've been a very good defensive team last couple of years. Anthony Walker Jr. now is with the Indianapolis Colts. He's off to the NFL. Ifeanyi Odenigbo is off to the Minnesota Vikings. And so you got some pretty big shoes to replace there.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, I've already mentioned Godwin, you know, without a doubt, leader in the secondary. you know, been really impressed with our entire secondary. We're going to get Keith Watkins back, who's, I think, one of our best football players just all around. Montre Hardage at the other corner. And then I've been really impressed with Kyle Kayrow's offseason. I mean, he's just – he looks completely different. He's really dedicated himself and really done a terrific job leading. Up front is where it all starts and ends, and Jordan Thompson and Tyler Lancaster have really done a really great job. And, you know, Tyler, pound for pound, may be one of the strongest players in the country. I think he just bench pressed 225 37 times last week. And
so did Steve.
Well, looking at your combine.
Let's talk reps. How heavy?
225 pounds.
How many times?
37 times.
Yeah, I've done that over the course of my career.
Well, I just looking at the combine video, I think I saw Dave do that. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
he could be our kicker this year. You got some eligibility left?
Probably.
Yeah, that would be a heartwarming story.
Wouldn't it be unbelievable? You'd be like, have a mic on, like,
yeah. You'd be in serious
Ted
trouble.
Ted takes over. Here's he comes down
from
42.
One last thing. You have to see the facility that's being built on the lakefront. And I haven't been over there in a few weeks, but people keep sending me pictures of it.
Yeah, you and me both. I keep getting text messages. Have you seen? Yeah, I have. Thanks for sending it. But the Walter Athletic Complex, now all the steel's up, and or I believe a majority of the big steel's up. The crane's down, and then Ryan Fieldhouse already putting the glass up on the north and the east side. Unbelievable. Game changer for us. We're very excited. We walked our commitments through there. We had a barbecue on Saturday, and then some of our freshman class walked in, and they were like, oh, my goodness.
Ooh, the Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
.712 live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Kid of the Week time. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders. Dr. Wee Day from the moment it was conceived.
Love Wee Day. We've done a lot with them, too.
This is one of the things that Allstate does to help families, help kids. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help us recognize a kid doing great stuff, going above and beyond for their community. Nominate a youth for Allstate Kid of the Week, kid you know that could be featured here on the Steve Cochran Show, win great prizes. An Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's Pizza. You go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be the Allstate Kid of the Week. And then tune in every Tuesday to hear the Allstate Kid of the Week. We have once a month we do this, we have a special situation where we have a kid live in studio and an Allstate agent as well. So let's start and go left to right here. Get right on that microphone, both of you guys, if you would. And start with Francis Wright, Allstate agent. Francis, how are you?
I'm doing just great.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Love your smile.
Thank you.
Where's your agency?
On 90th and Western, 9013 Southwestern to be exact, in Chicago.
That's you, my old hood.
Well, do you have an Allstate agent that you like?
No, but I need to talk to Francis
after. Yeah, I was going to say, let's fix this up.
I know.
When did you get in the business?
Oh, wow. 29 years ago.
Stop it.
Yes, I know I don't.
What, were you 5'6"
yes,
at the time?
Yes, I was.
Very impressive. And why? Why did you decide this is the life you wanted?
Well, I kind of fell into it. I would say this. In the olden days, they used to have what we call a data center, where we had
It was
operations.
Back in the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I was a young mom. I had a son. He was 7.
Okay.
And I used to work for Allstate in Skokie, Illinois.
So you said, why can't I be an agent?
And so, well, it was a lot of work. I was up at like 5 in the morning, had to take them to the sitter, then I'd stay at work till like 6. So my whole life was sleep, eat, and work. And so not a good way to raise a child.
But it worked out just fine.
It did once I became an Allstate agent.
Hard work pays off.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And what do you like most about being an agent?
Oh, wow. There's so many things I like about being an agent. But I would say if I had to narrow it down, I would probably think about giving back in the community. I would just say it allows me the opportunity to be creative, to build a business, to have influence on other people's lives, to develop my staff. Also to support other merchants.
There you go.
To meet so many different customers and also the Allstate family, all the employees.
Sure, sure.
Allstate.
And that's a great area too. Beverly, Mount Greenwood. That is a great neighborhood.
I was talking about Wee Day. You were involved with Wee Day, right?
Yes, I was. Yes.
You spoke at the volunteer situation?
Yes, I did. I got to speak at a school to maybe a few hundred young people.
Right.
And
fire them up.
Yeah, I got to fire them up.
Yeah. Well, let's add a Daisy Garcia. Daisy is this week's kid of the week. And Daisy, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am just fine, Daisy. And I love your smile, too. Are you always this happy, or are you just giddy this morning?
No, I think I'm always this way.
Right? Daisy just lights up the room when she comes in here. DeVry Advantage Academy attendee and a member of the Wii Youth Council. Explain what the Wii Youth Council is.
The Wii Youth Council is kids from all over the city who come together. We had meetings maybe once or twice a month, and we talk about what's going on in our individual neighborhoods and what we want to do to help out our community as one, but all over the city.
Your specific areas of interest, not that you're not interested in all things, but are trying to end hunger and end cruelty to animals, right?
Yes.
All right, so what's the Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games is an event that my school, the DeVry Advantage Academy, made. It's a field day of the whole school. We invite parents and staff. Uh-huh. We make games, and for you to participate, you have to donate non-perishable items. And then we donate it to our local food pantry.
You don't get to play unless you bring food.
That's the way you have to get it.
That's just fine. How much food did you raise? Any idea?
We raised, I think, over 500 items.
Very nice. Very nice. And the animal cruelty piece of this?
We made a photo booth fundraiser where you would pay a dollar and we would take a Polaroid with you along with pictures of animals, stuffed animals, and a background with animals.
And do you have any critters at home?
No, I don't.
That's interesting, but you love animals.
Yes, it's kind of a thing. My mom won't let us have animals, but it's always been a thing that I wanted. So
you reached out and you're helping animals anyway.
Yes.
That do-it-yourself photo booth at school, people were charged a donation to have their photo taken, and obviously they keep the picture. And you created the backdrop and found the cameras and put the whole thing together, and the donations went where?
They went to Paws.
Paws Chicago, which is a great organization we have on all the time. How many years have you gone to WIDA?
I've gone twice now.
And what's the most fun about that?
I think was actually being on stage just last Wee Day. It was awesome. And you just get to meet all the people that are interested in the same thing you are.
So you were on stage in front of thousands of people.
It was a lot. It was very nerve-wracking.
You seem like you probably handled it well, though. Yeah. It's hard enough taking on one cause, but two, and you're very successful at both.
Yeah, I have a lot of help from a lot of people from school, so, yeah.
Did you get your friends involved?
Yes. We have a service learning club at school, and it's huge at school, so we're a small school, and most of our students are in the club, so uh-huh. A lot of us come together and do it all together.
All right, well, let's get the rest of your life figured out now. What are you going to be later on?
I'm looking to be a lawyer.
A lawyer?
Yes.
I did not see that coming. All right. I did not see lawyer coming. Where's lawyer come from?
I have an interest in law school, so I want to go for a lawyer.
Really?
Yeah.
But so what type of law?
I'm looking for family law.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about political aspirations?
Not yet.
Okay. We need better people, and by that I mean we need humans involved in politics, yeah. And so we'd like you to run. I'm going to endorse you right now.
And strong women, so.
Yes, absolutely. You're a little young now, but you have my endorsement. I want you to
I'll take
that.
It.
I just wonder, you as a lawyer, can you imagine she comes in with that smile as a lawyer? You go, okay, whatever you want.
Okay, I did it.
Whatever, it's our fault here. Go ahead. Dave's had our friend Daisy.
Daisy, good to have you here. So why family law? What appeals to you about that?
I have a job at a daycare, so working with kids and the interests of family, it's mm-hmm. always been really close to me.
You have a very close family yourself?
Yes, and we're a very big family.
How yeah. big?
I have about 20 cousins. All first cousins.
Are you Greek?
Yeah.
No, you're not Greek.
I know. They make fun of me because I have 15 first cousins. So.
Yeah, we're a big family.
Right there together.
Yeah. So every time you have a family get together, it's nothing but food and good times.
Yes, mm-hmm. and a lot of rubbing against each other.
Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have four.
Okay, well, that's a pretty big family as well.
Yeah.
What about you, Francis? Just the son?
Yes, just a son.
And what's he doing?
Actually, my son is an Allstate agent also.
Well, look what happened there.
Cool.
I didn't even know that.
Yes.
It runs in the family.
Yes, it does.
All right, so both of you, either of you, what do you want to say to people who hear about Wee Day all the time but haven't gotten involved yet?
Well, one of the things that I would like to say is You know, there's so many programs out here that encourage scholastic achievement and also high sports achievement, but a lot of times we're not recognizing the kids that have a compassionate heart.
Amen.
So I would just like for people to recognize that there are children out here at very young ages that see what's going on in society, and they want to be like Daisy and make a difference in the world. So I just hope we continue to highlight those children.
You agree with all that?
Yes, definitely.
And I was told you used to be super shy.
I was, yes.
What brought you out of your show?
Well, it wasn't until high school, and the thing that I didn't have a way to get involved, and then I met these people from We Day and all the Allstate people who were actually there to help you, and I was like, okay, this is something I want to do.
Well, I just think it's important for people to hear. There's a lot of people, you know, moms and dads, yeah, and struggle because their kid's shy and they don't know what to do. Get them involved in service clubs,
yeah,
right?
Get them involved in something that they're going to be interested in. And there's so many programs in WE that you can get involved in, especially in the area that you want to help in.
Break down those walls.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, nothing but upside to you for you. So when you win the White House, will you call us and let us have the first interview?
Yes.
All right, good. I just want to make sure we were on the list. And WE Day, the third annual Allstate Foundation WE Day special broadcast airs on CBS Friday, August 4th, 7 p.m. Chicago time. Check your listings around the country or wherever you're listening. And bringing together families for a great evening. The Allstate Foundation, proud sponsor of WE Day. And, of course, we have the boss in here all the time to talk about WE Day. But WE Day, we'll talk about WE Day all the time. So for schools that want to get involved next year, I think you know this, Daisy, but you just go to WE.org and get the ball rolling.
Yes.
All right. That's Daisy. How about a hand for
all
Daisy?
Right. Sitting ovation.
And a vote. She's got my vote, too.
How about a hand for Francis?
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
How about a hand for Dave?
Thank you.
That's it.
I don't know.
Go Cats.
Great to see both of you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
You made our day. Yesterday, Donald Trump, the president for now, had his speech to the Boy Scouts. Now, in a speech to the Boy Scouts, which he started with, why the hell would anyone want to talk politics to the Boy Scout Jamboree? He then spent the entire time doing a campaign speech. But this part was probably the one that's taking the most
heat,
I suppose. He told a story about a New York developer that he knew, and it's fairly inexplicable, but keep in mind he's talking to Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts.
Right.
It's Donald Trump, the president of the United States, talking to Boy Scouts. Well, of course, this story makes sense.
It was a long time ago. Sold his company for a tremendous amount of money. And he went out and bought a big yacht. And he had a very interesting life. I won't go any more than that because you're Boy Scouts, so I'm not going to tell you what he did. Should I tell you? Should I tell you? Oh, you're Boy Scouts, but you know life. You know life. He so badly wanted, he got bored with this life of yachts and sailing and all of the things he did in the south of France and other places. You won't get bored, right? You know, truthfully, your workers, you'll get bored too, believe me. Of course, having a few good years like that isn't so bad.
What the hell is he talking about?
I have no idea.
What is he talking about?
We have an idea of what he's talking about, but really? Know your audience?
That's
they're
talking
Boy Scouts,
about William Levitt and a cocktail party. It goes into this cocktail party, and there's things he can't discuss. What is wrong with him?
But do you remember that incredible night with the maps? And that map was so red, it was unbelievable, and they didn't know what to say.
We're back in the election. We're back on election night.
This is a lot of people. Turn those cameras back there, please. By the way, what do you think the chances are that this incredible, massive crowd, record-setting, is going to be shown on television tonight? 1% or zero? President Trump spoke before a small crowd of Boy Scouts today. That is some crowd. Fake media, fake news.
He is so damaged.
Another record-setting crowd. Wow. Everywhere he goes, he just breaks records for the crowd size.
This is why 6 months feels like 6 years already.
Fake media. Fake news.
He is so damaged. He is so warped. He is so screwed up as a human being
that he can't stand in front of a crowd of kids and understand who he's talking to?
By the way, the crowd size was between 30 and 35.
People?
Mm-hmm. People, yeah. Yes. Allegedly.
A lot of noise.
Fake news.
Listen, if you're so inclined to take a look, and frankly, it's probably a waste of your time, just know that that's Donald Trump's choice that he made yesterday in front of a group of Boy Scouts. Meanwhile, today, you've got the health care procedural vote on whether or not it will go to the floor for debate. That vote comes up later today, and John McCain flying back to take the vote. And that's the big story coming up here in just a few moments. Along with his continued slams on the Attorney General, he also took a shot at his Health and Human Services Secretary, Tom Price, to make sure he had the votes to get this procedural vote done. I tweeted this yesterday, I got to believe the White House summer picnic must really suck, because he is the worst boss ever. He trashes people in public. Yeah. He sows discord behind the scenes. Here's Trump talking about Tom Price.
By the way, you going to get the votes? Hope so. He better get them. Oh, he better. Otherwise, I'll say, Tom, you're fired. I'll get somebody. You better get Senator Capito to vote for it. You know, after 7 years of saying repeal and replace Obamacare, we have a chance to now do it. They better do it. Hopefully they'll do it.
We need to repeal and replace Trump. Yeah. That's it. Repeal and replace Trump. Repeal and replace Trump. That needs to be the new slogan for America.
And
meanwhile, the useless Democrats, you know what the Democrats' new slogan is?
I can't imagine.
Try harder. No, what is it? Yes, and it's so lame, I've already forgotten it. Do better.
Do better.
Go get them.
A new deal.
The
new deal.
The better deal.
The better deal.
A better deal. That's the Democrats' white-hot slogan. These ass clowns in Republican cars are driving around, and they can't get out of their own way. And the Democrats announced yesterday their new slogan is a better deal. Ooh, pinch me. That's just ridiculous. These are the people running the country. I've been trying for an hour
deep
and a half
breath.
To not
I was
going to
say,
politics.
This will be it, right?
I don't want to talk about politics anymore.
Except the big story.
I'm going to walk out of the room while you're doing the big story okay. So I don't talk about politics.
It's on health care. You might want to.
Yes. I'm going to go check out my own health care at 7:32. We need a break for this. Hillary's in her tree fort laughing. We're back with Andrea next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
7:43, Mitch McConnell seen this morning handing out magic beans to anyone that was willing to vote to push the Senate health care bill to the floor. We assume it's going to be the House health care bill, the one the president called mean. And then amendments will be added. Not sure how long that will take. It'll be kicked back to the House for approval or disapproval or more adjustments before it presumably at some point would go to Trump to be signed. That's the major news of the day. We'll see where it develops from here. The Democrats, meanwhile, when their white hot slogan, a better deal. Still trying to figure. You know, I don't even a better deal is such a lame slogan. I don't even think it would stick to a T-shirt. I don't think a T-shirt would reject it.
Be like in the bargain bin, dollar shirts.
Ridiculous. It's a Twilight Zone. Let me get a guy in here that I like. Can I do that? All right, let me bring Chris Kennedy in here. Chris Kennedy wants to be the next governor, and I asked him if he's had a full brain scan for the wondering if that was a good job. Chris Kennedy has a very successful life and a happy family and all of those things. And yet you have decided to take this on. And taken on why? I mean, why at this point in your life would you want this job?
I think like everybody in the state, we're sick of seeing our kids leave. The next generation is departing our state. And, you know, none of us want to die alone, frankly. Nobody wants to die alone. And if we don't turn this state around, that's what's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah, Illinois has the potential of going I was just going to say, Chris, Illinois has the potential of going from the position we've always enjoyed as being one of the leaders in this country to one of the states that everybody feels sorry for and asking for help. You know what we're going to become if we're not careful? We're going to become the guy that shows up at Thanksgiving or the family party and they go, oh, Bob's here. Well, don't try to get him upset. And you know he's going to ask for money. Get him a plate of food ready and send him home. We don't want to be that guy, Chris.
Yeah, no. Tell Bob, why don't we get you a better deal?
I got to tell you something. The Democratic leadership coming up with a better deal. Are you kidding me? That's the best we can do?
What did that cost? What did that cost? The brain trust to put that together.
Here's what Trump is
right
about.
Let's not give him something great. Let's not give him the best. Maybe something better.
A slightly increase in hope for you. Oh, please. All right, now, a couple of things I want to run by you here. First off, the property tax thing. You've been talking about this property tax mess for years. Do you feel vindicated at all? The Tribune series came out, and people are at least talking about this issue now?
I think it's great that everybody's talking about it, but we need more than talk. We need action. And, you know, you see a 10 million data point study out of the University of Chicago, enormous coverage in the Tribune, editorials in the Cranes, the Sun-Times, Tribune, all sorts of radio and television coverage, and almost no elected officials speaking out against the system that Joe Berrios has created as Cook County Assessor. And the reason they don't speak out against him, the reason they're not critical, the reason they're not bowing to the weight of all of that evidence is that he is also the head of the Cook County Party in the Democratic Party in Cook County, which means he controls their slating, which means he has the upper hand and they're afraid of him. We need to separate those roles so that people, elected officials, are free to speak out, because the cowardly behavior that we're witnessing now is destroying the lives of people in our city and our county.
Chris, you mentioned UFC. Let's talk a little bit about education funding in this special session that's going to be convening this week. Do you like SB1, or what would you change about it? What do we need to do in this state to get this education funding bill or some variants of it passed?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, obviously, we need to open the schools on time, and any threat to that, I think, is a threat to society. Having said that, it continues to rely on property taxes, which makes the people who have careers as property tax appeals lawyers even more certain. That is, it locks in their income and their way of life. And I think that's a disaster for our state. We're so undereducating the next generation of kids in Illinois that 75% of them aren't college ready, aren't ready to enter the workforce when they graduate high school. That's a disaster for the future of our economy and for everybody who lives here.
Yeah, school districts shouldn't need individual lobbyists to get a fair deal. You know, I mean, common sense ought to have some sort of play in this. There's a ton of kids in Chicago that need great schools. It doesn't mean downstate and outstate kids don't need great schools. But there ought to be a way to fairly and equitably spread out the resources and make all these schools work better. You know what they need? A better deal.
Oh, here we go.
A better deal.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, a better deal. But we make things harder than they need to be, Chris.
There's 50 high schools. 50 high schools in Chicago where the average ACT score is a 14 or a 15. Ugh. How are those kids supposed to participate in this economy? It's not that they need something better than that. They need that abandoned. We need to set high standards, great goals. We need them and make them part of the modern America. And instead, we're abandoning them. And that's not right. If we change the way we fund our schools, if we adopt a progressive graduated income tax, broaden the tax that we have now to include all of the people who, through special exemptions, are not included in that tax, then we can fund our schools and give the kids a chance.
The gun violence problem in the city is epic, and the statistics are nauseating. Look, nobody knows more than you and your family what gun violence can do and suffering it in the most horrific ways. What's it like to be a kid trying to grow up and trying to thrive when you lose your dad like you did and your uncle?
Well, I mean, I think it's really difficult, and I think I was lucky to grow up in a family with resources and lots of brothers and sisters and cousins who, you know, rallied together and looked after each other. But not everybody is as lucky as I was in that regard. And you look at the violence in Chicago, you think about the Vietnam War, you think about the soldiers who served there. They were not 5 years old or 4 years old or 10 years old. They were on their way to adulthood. And yet, 50 years later, we're still dealing with the aftermath, with PTSD, with our inability to care for them. And what has happened to them as vets is happening to our entire city. Generations of kids now wounded. I think the bullet that kills the father wounds the child.
Sure.
And we're not taking care of those kids or the communities that are suffering from the mental illness and PTSD that happens when you're exposed to such a violent act at such a young age.
Jurisdictionally, there's always been a stand down policy. Well, not always, but for the most part, from the governor's office. As governor, what could you do to make yourself part of the success of stemming the violence in Chicago while respecting jurisdictions and the mayor's territory and all that? I mean, how do you make it better?
Well, let's talk about treating the victims and the support that the state can provide for kids who are in school. So we have social and emotional learning tools that can be available to them. The greatest think tank and organization in the United States for social emotional learning came out of Yale University and is now located at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Their research, their plans, their ability to help other people should be present in every grade school and high school in the state. The fact is, Chicago's not the most violent city in the state. We probably rank fifth as the most violent community. And we have to heal the entire community. And there are lots of things that we can do to provide mental health support and support for our safety net hospitals. We need help with curtailing the spread of guns. We have more gun violence in Chicago, principally because we have more guns. And those guns are coming from out of state, largely, and Illinois can play a role.
Yeah, and I assume you support the legislation passed and partially passed recently to shut down some of that interstate gun violence. But not only that, also to make sure that those who have gun convictions don't end up on the street in 6 weeks.
Right.
But, and, you know, there's these gun trains, and you think that's like urban myth, some form of legend. But the truth is, repeatedly, trains carrying enormous loads of guns are parked in the city core and in poorly protected lots by rail companies who have insurance and gun companies that have insurance. And so they don't mind if their load is lost because it's insurable. That's an insurable risk for them. But suddenly we have hundreds or thousands of guns on our street, and they need to stop allowing that to occur. I think if that occurs again, the governor of the state ought to condemn those tracks as a public nuisance until we get clarity for them as to what they will do to protect our streets.
It's an extremely underreported story, and most people do think it's urban legend, but it needs to be investigated.
Chris, so much of wanting this job is fundraising. J.B. Pritzker and Dan Biss outraised you in the second quarter. Are you worried about keeping up as far as the fundraising goes?
No, not at all. I have a great network around the state and around the country. About 6,000 people have given to me so far, and my belief is that plenty more will do that. We'll have the resources to compete, and I'm not worried about money in this campaign.
Last question. Some people have accused me of being cynical because I'm sick of everybody. I'm sick of the Democrats. I'm sick of the Republicans. I just want people to get elected and do the right thing. Yes, it means negotiating with the other party. Yes, it means compromise. But first and foremost, it doesn't mean you keep the job because you won an election. It means you keep the job because you're doing the right thing. So what do you say to people who fall into that set of beliefs who are just tired of politicians?
I think the system is encouraging you to feel that way. I'd say the Republican Party, which has spent billions of dollars in the United States, has a four-point plan. It's all around voter suppression. They tell you government doesn't work. Then they tell you all politicians are corrupt. The third thing is there's nothing you can do about it. And the fourth message is don't bother voting. They're brainwashing you. They're convincing you to stay out of the process. Resist it with everything you can. Show up, vote, send a message, do your duty as an American, and get a better outcome for this country.
And we need more than a better deal. Good luck. We invite you back many, many times. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
J.B. Pritzker is invited as well. Mike Madigan is invited as well. Is Mike Madigan on the show today? Oh, that is a shocker. Madigan said no. Show number 952 in a row without Mike Madigan. But Madigan and Pritzker invited anytime. I'd prefer they not be together, but if that's the way they'd like to do it and they're more comfortable, they're both invited. It's traffic time for Mary. Dean's coming up after 8. Got a bunch of show business to get to as well, including this movie Detroit, which you've seen the commercials about. Here's my main question about it. What?
Yeah, I know.
I just want to know what the plot line is.
I've seen the billboards, too.
Yeah.
It just is strange.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards joins us now. Dean, in the big political mess that we're in.
What political mess?
The Democrats have come up with a white-hot slogan to change things for the Democratic Party.
White-hot slogan from the Democrats? I wonder what that would be.
Don't you mean blue-hot slogan?
Blue-hot slogan. You know, you would think he could do better than Make America Great Again. But here's the white-hot slogan. The Democratic Party, a better deal. So I've asked the texters, Dean, could you come up with a slogan more lame? Here's a couple from the 630.
Just got a text from FDR. He said, hey, cut it out. That was my slogan.
A better deal. 630 says, we might be back. 847, a deal that's not significantly different than what we've done before. That's not bad. That's not bad. And 219, making Democrats mediocre again. Well, there you go. There you go. All along with a better deal. A better deal. Text question 312-981-7200.
Yeah, I'm not depressed about everything.
It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable that both parties could be battling to see who could suck faster. So moving on from politics to what really matters, let's go to show business.
I miss Ross Perot right now, don't you?
Yeah, you know what I do? Nah! We have no more concerts for Bieber. What's going on there?
Oh, Steve, don't act like you weren't on the phone all night.
Calling you.
As the regional vice president of the Justin Bieber fan club trying to turn this around. But yesterday, Bieber announced that he is canceling the rest of his world tour.
Why, Dean? Why?
His website says unforeseen circumstances. But people close to him say, Steve, he's super exhausted from the travel and the schedule and the rigors of the tour that he's been on. Now, he has been on tour since March of last year.
Isn't he like 25?
He's 25 years old. Right?
Honestly, I don't think I was ever tired at 25.
Well, here's the thing.
Now, I've not been tired since, you know, about 1983. But when I was 25, I wasn't tired.
I'm not saying these shows are easy to do. They're not. But he's got 14 of them left. He's been on tour since March of last
finish
year.
Finish the deal.
You can't work two more weeks?
Yeah, finish the deal, dude.
Come on.
By the way, I just did the math. It completely messed up my way of thinking. I was 22 in 1983. Okay, I haven't been not tired since, let's say, 92. 92. I just wanted to update that for people keeping score.
Seems about right.
Circa the early 90s.
Yeah, that seems about right.
All right, new 007 movie date. Is Daniel Craig coming back?
Daniel Craig is definitely confirmed coming back.
He's
now.
Great.
Which I think is great. This is going to be his fifth James Bond movie. They don't have a title for it yet, but it's going to be coming out November of 2019. This will be the 25th. James Bond movie. What would be a good title for this new James Bond movie?
A Better Deal. James Bond, A Better Deal.
Da, 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 da.
Now, that would actually be a good Bond movie title.
Somehow it would work better than trying to rebrand the Democratic Party.
James Bond, Where Did I Leave My Cane? Da, 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 da. Instead of an Aston Martin, he's got one of those Rollator walkers now.
James Bond, what do you mean Bieber canceled the rest of his tour?
Right.
All right. What is this? I saw you interviewing the great actor John Boyega.
From Star Wars.
Yes, from Star Wars. Finn. But he's in Finn. This new movie, Detroit. Now, yep. I'm seeing billboards for this. I'm seeing commercials for this. What story did I miss? Because this says now the story can finally be told. What are they talking about? What is this movie?
You're going to be super jealous when I tell you this.
Go ahead.
That yesterday, the reason that I wasn't able to be with you yesterday, because I was on a very exclusive flight from Chicago to Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Dean living the glamorous showbiz lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
Going to the Motor City mm-hmm. to interview the cast of this movie. 50 years ago today, Steve, there was a raid on an after-hours nightclub in Detroit.
Okay.
A raid that got out of hand. Police in this raid abusing the people who were at this party, all African-American people in this party, abusing them, which set off weeks of riots in Detroit, virtually burnt down quite a bit of Detroit. These famous riots in Detroit 50
years ago. Yeah, from 1967.
This movie chronicles that and chronicles the events that specifically took place at the Algiers Hotel there, which was a popular spot for drug dealers, for prostitutes, for, you know, that sort of lifestyle that was going in. But there were events that took place at this hotel, which are also very famous, that resulted in several Detroit policemen going to trial on murder charges. Three people were murdered at the Algiers Hotel. They were found not guilty in several trials that went on regarding this, but it's a fascinating story. It's directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who gave us The Hurt Locker, among other movies. John Boyega is part of this movie. Anthony Mackie is part of this movie. Jason Mitchell, who played Eazy-E in Straight Out of Compton, he's really such a good actor. He's part of this film as well. A number of young actors. This is one of the most moving films that I've seen in a long time.
Wow.
It opens August the 4th, but I obviously saw the movie so I could interview the cast. It's beyond powerful. This
but that's not a review.
It's not a review because I would never review a movie until it actually opens. But
based on what I've seen from the trailers, it appears Boyega is a cop in this movie that's appalled by what he's seen and naively thinks the police will back him up. Is that the story?
Security guard.
He's
a private security guard who is trying to bridge the gap between rioters and the police, since he is in a position of authority, sort of in a position of authority. But to the Detroit police officers, to the Michigan State Police and the National Guard, who were all involved in trying to calm this riot, he's just another black guy on the streets. And he was actually also charged with murder in this trial. It's all true story. Everything that happens in this movie is 100% true. But he is so good. We mostly know Boyega from Star Wars, but he is showing off some dramatic chops. Do you know the actor? He was the little kid in the movie Where the Millers. His name is oh boy, I'm forgetting, Will Poulter.
Yeah.
Young Will Poulter.
He was great.
He plays a racist cop in this movie. If he doesn't get nominated for an Academy Award, I'll be shocked. His performance in this movie is amazing.
Based on what happened to him in We're the Millers.
That would make a kid angry.
That would make you really angry.
Yeah, you get in a movie like that, you're going to become angry.
Yeah,
It's going to manifest itself somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
He's in a sequel to We're the Millers called Wait Till the Swelling Goes Down.
Wouldn't that be a lame slogan for the Democrats?
Yes, the Democratic Party.
We're the Democrats?
Wait till the swelling goes down.
So we talked with the whole cast yesterday. We're going to share those interviews over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, I knew that John Boyega wasn't going to tell me anything about Star Wars The Last Jedi. They're done filming. It's going to come out in December. But, you know, I thought, I got to try. I got to try to get something out of him, a little preview of Star Wars. And this is what he didn't tell me.
Are you as excited as all the rest of us about The Last Jedi coming out?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
You haven't seen anything?
I haven't seen a thing.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, we, as a cast, we're distant from the process. They don't really allow us into the process.
Did it feel the same, making it? Did it feel as...
More exciting.
More exciting.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you're building on something that was a success. The first part was a success, and you're building on a character that you kind of love and cherish, and it's nice to have that.
Hang on.
So there you go, Steve, our exclusive on...
I felt like you cracked the shell there.
The new Star Wars. He hasn't seen it yet. He knows nothing. Take that, Billy Bush.
So that's the new Democratic slogan. The Democrats, we know nothing. Superman's got a problem. There's a coal company suing HBO. Oh, we got more to talk about with Dean when we come back. He's playing hurt. He's here, and we're back with him.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment
So when did you get your cold?
That would be last week. I've been on airplanes too much. I was in Los Angeles over the weekend. Talked to Michael Keaton. We're going to share that interview soon. And then yesterday I went to Detroit. So, you know, I'm basically just, if anyone wants to just come up to me and breathe right into my mouth.
Yeah, why not?
It's pretty much the same as being on an airplane.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling better now. Thank you for asking.
We were talking the other day about, and it didn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was 30 years ago. When you would get on an airplane, and halfway back, there'd be these little signs on the back of the seat that would say smoking section.
Right.
Remember that?
And the smoking section would be from there back. Like, that made a difference.
Right.
People would ask you, would you bought your ticket, smoking or non-smoking?
Right. Right.
And then you'd be in the last row before the smoking section, yet it's still considered non-smoking.
Oh, like it made any difference
right. Yeah.
What row you were in if people were smoking right. On the plane. But I'm still amazed. Some airplanes, when you go to the restroom, still have little ashtrays built into the doors.
Yeah, what is that about?
I'm thinking, how old is this plane? There's still an ashtray built into the door so someone could go in the bathroom and catch a quick smoke.
It is weird because I've been on those planes, too. And if you go to the entertainment centers, the TVs are black and white, and they only show Bonanza.
Yeah, that's not right.
not good.
June Cleaver and so forth.
Superman's
by the way,
Steve,
a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, yeah, what do you got?
We had recorded a commercial a moment ago for Ravinia that was talking about Maestro Christoph Eschenbach conducting the Chicago Symphony Orchestra this weekend. Last night, Ravinia announced that he is ill and will not be performing. Instead, it'll be Maestro James Conlon leading the CSO. I know you're a big fan.
Well, listen, I want the maestro to get better.
We do, too.
Yeah. But,
and that's who will be your conductor. Check your scorecards. Check your lineups.
Right. Right. Adjust yourself accordingly. I'm in the Fantasy Conductor League, and I'm glad you told me that because I would have lost points.
That makes a difference somehow.
Yeah. Democratic slogans continue to come in. The Democrats came up with a new slogan to rebrand the Democratic Party yesterday. Their hot slogan is a better deal. From the 815, same crap, different day.
I like that.
And from the 630, support a donkey, not an ass.
That's a good one.
So very good.
It's a very creative. Yes, Everett.
I just wanted to let you know that the reason why the ashtrays are there for a reason, even though smoking is banned,
some people still sneak it, so they still are required to have a safe place to put a cigarette.
Is that
out.
Right?
Yeah. So you're not on an old plane. They're required. And if it's broken, it has to be fixed within 72 hours.
Really?
Yeah. So
I like to go into the bathroom on an airplane and start a bonfire. Just a nice little bonfire, just to, you know, maybe do some s'mores.
Yeah. I like to take a sandwich in there and eat privately. I like a little privacy while I eat. If you put that, you put that table down where you're supposed to change babies and put a nice tablecloth on there.
Yes.
A nice little candelabra. It's nice, and it's private. It's very nice.
You know, and people fly planes now, and they go, what is this Mile High Club nonsense? Nobody could ever have sex in a bathroom like this. In the 80s and previous to the 80s, the bathrooms were over 4,000 square feet on the airplanes. A lot of people don't know that. I don't make stuff up.
No.
Superman has a mustache problem?
Okay, so this is not a spoiler alert because Henry Cavill has been listed in the credits for the new Justice League movie for months and months and months. So anyone getting ready to write an email saying I'm spoiling it by saying that Henry Cavill is in Justice League, save your emails on that. It's been announced for a long time. But anyway, he finished his parts for this Justice League movie a while ago. And now he's moved on to his new movie, Mission Impossible 6, that contractually obligates him to have a beard and mustache in the movie. He's not allowed to shave it off because it's in his contract for Mission Impossible 6. Justice League needed him to come back to do some reshoots. And, you know, now they've got this problem. What we need a clean-shaven Superman. We can't have, you know, a hipster bearded Superman in the movie. So what they've decided to do is digitally remove the facial hair from Henry Cavill in the new Justice League movie.
Wow.
Didn't know you could do that.
Well, I didn't know you could do
that. I guess you could pretty much do anything. If you can bring dead guys back to life, I guess you can, you know, put, you know, digitally remove facial hair from somebody's
face. Well, we should
face.
Probably reveal at this time, for those of you that watch Dean every day or watch us on CLTV after 9, yep. Dean and I both had our hair digitally removed.
Yeah, full, we're both of us, full thick manes of hair.
I have an afro.
Right.
Yeah, like Oscar Gamble.
You're right.
Boy, the poor graphic artist working overtime on that, huh?
Yeah. I do not have an afro, but I got a perm so I would look like Steve. Because I like when people confuse us, no matter whether hair or no hair. I like when people confuse us.
And finally, why is a coal company suing HBO?
All right. So this last June, there was a story on John Oliver's amazing television show.
Last Week Tonight,
in which he did a story about a coal company executive and his practices that put safety and health of the workers second to profits. The coal company executive sued John Oliver, sued HBO, sued the parent company, Time Warner, saying that the story is completely false and is suing them for, he's being sued for defaming him. So all of that's in court right now. HBO is standing by the story, saying that every word that they said was completely true, that this coal company executive's got a history of bullying people who write less than positive things about him. So now HBO is scheduled to rerun that episode of Last Week Tonight, and this coal company now, in addition to the original lawsuit that they have filed a temporary restraining order against HBO to try to get them to stop rerunning that episode again this coming Sunday night. So HBO is not backing down from this guy. Murray Energy is the name of the company, and they say that they are going to re-air it. They've gone to court to see if they can get HBO to stop it. HBO is saying that the lawsuit and now this temporary restraining order is an attempt to suppress free speech.
Dean Richards, plan hurt so you don't have to. Thank you, buddy.
I'll be okay.
Remember, Dean and I have the same slogan, same crap, different day.
Yep.
Back with a big story next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Woo!
8:46, beautiful day in Chicago. I would highly encourage you sometime around noon to start talking about the rash. You don't know if it's contagious or not. You're not sure if it's going to clear up and you left your medicine at home and get out of there. Call in sick when you're already there.
Right.
Get the half day in. Put the effort in. Get the half day in and check out.
Yeah.
If you run a company today, what good is it going to do to keep your employees around? They're not going to get any work done this afternoon. Cut them loose at noon.
This is the kind of day. Remember when if we were in school, you'd say, can we sit outside?
Mm-hmm.
We'd be outside. And take a
class. I say all Steve Cochran Show listeners get a half day today.
Oh, cool.
Here's a good trick, too. You say after you go to the bathroom and spend like a half an hour there and then come back and say, you know, my stomach's really not feeling so good.
Everybody will want you to be gone then.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Steve Grzanich, he's going to be in Southern Illinois for Eclipse Day on August 21st, Steve?
Yes, the Monday. Monday, August 21st.
All right, so he's going to be down there along with Dave Schwann.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Schwanny are going to be covering the eclipse for us.
It'll be team coverage.
Team eclipse coverage. Now, you're going to go down on a weekend, though, so you'll actually give us a little color for the weekend prior to?
There's actually, I'll be at SIU, and there's going to be an eclipse con, sort of like a Comic-Con. And they've got science fiction writers coming in and other writers and some other fun stuff happening there as sort of like a festival. NASA will be there all weekend doing shows, and they'll be there, of course, on Monday. And then on Monday, I think Dave will look at the sun, and I will look at through the glasses. So he'll be without glasses, and I'll be with glasses.
No, you're not supposed
that
to do that.
Fair.
Remember yesterday, our guest, they said, don't look up
at
the sun.
Don't look directly at the sun.
She said, even if you wear sunglasses on top of sunglasses on top of sunglasses, that's not helpful.
It's really, nothing's to me more lame than the Democratic slogan. Wait, no, that's the last segment. Nothing to me is more lame than having people go, hey, don't drink and drive, or hey, slow down. Look, you're all grown-ups. But the fact is your kids aren't. You really need to talk to your kids about this. I remember being a 10 or 11-year-old, Dave, you were 30, 35, when we had that total eclipse in the 70s.
Yeah, I wasn't born probably.
And I don't remember my parents ever saying, hey, dummy, don't look at the sun.
I do.
So you get a bunch of little, your parents loved you. You get a bunch of little kids together with something like this, especially dopey little boys, and somebody could get hurt.
Oh, yeah, sure. People are going to look up at the sun.
You need to scare the crap out of your kids. You need to tell them they're going to go blind.
Your eyes will melt.
The solution to this is very cheap and very easy. You can go on Amazon. You can go to the NASA website. You can even go to SIU's website. They're all selling for just a couple of bucks, if that, these special glasses that will enable you. They're like 3D glasses.
And
it's very cheap.
The Edler, I think, was giving them out you go to their
Eclipse Wait, I thought party. You shouldn't look through glasses. These are
special
eclipse glasses?
Yeah,
they're
solar
special
glasses.
Eclipse glasses.
Hmm. So. Are they sporty?
Well, the ones at SIU actually have the SIU logo on the side. And
of course
maroon.
They do.
Marketing.
Yep.
It's all
dogs.
About the marketing.
Yeah. Go Dogs.
What kind of crowds are we expecting in Southern Illinois? It's going to be bananas, right?
I can tell you that from what I know from my family that lives down there, it's going to be bananas. Hotels are at a premium. Charges for different things are at a premium. People are setting up shops along the roads. It's going to be a big deal.
I think you and Schwanny should pitch a tent.
No, because you don't know this, Mary.
Staying with mom.
Steve's mom's got an Airbnb going, right. And she gave Steve a good rate.
Wow. How about Schwanny?
It's surge pricing.
They got to share like a twin, though.
Yeah, exactly. In Steve's old bedroom.
So does your mom still have your old bedroom, or did she change it into something?
It's changed, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like the day after I moved
out.
I
thought your little trophies would still be up and everything.
No, no, no.
Does your mom live alone?
No, she lives with my brother, yeah.
And is your brother glad you're coming back?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah. The sibling rivalry ignited.
Kicks in again. All right, let's do this. Take a break, come back. I have several other things to get to before this hour is complete. And CLTV will join us just short of the top of the hour on 720 WGN. Before we proceed here, would you like to know my favorite moments from yesterday's Boy Scout rally?
Yes. Oh, there's more than one?
There's 14 in all, according to this piece from New York Magazine. Yesterday, the president addressed, and Jake, tell me if you got any sound you want to throw in here. Yesterday, the president addressed Boy Scouts. And he started the address of the Boy Scouts by saying, and there are about 24,000 boys aged 12 to 18 there. It was a rambling 35-minute speech. And there was probably 40,000 in all. So big crowd. Big crowd. Yeah. Record!
Record setting.
A post on the Jamboree's blog had warned the Boy Scout troops to be courteous and refrain from chanting phrases like lock her up.
Come on. These are kids.
These are kids. All right, so Trump started off by marveling about the crowd size and attacking the press.
Well, first of all, he said, who the hell wants to talk about politics?
And then jumped into it immediately after.
Yeah.
He called our nation's capital a cesspool. And that's, you know, I think, how will I inspire the youth of tomorrow? I think, what can I do as president to inspire the youth of tomorrow? I think I'll call Washington a cesspool.
You know, I go to Washington and I see all these politicians. And I see the swamp, and it's not a good place. In fact, today I said we ought to change it from the word swamp to the word cesspool or perhaps to the word sewer, but it's not good.
Firing up the kids. He talked about 10 members of his cabinet being Boy Scouts, and then he threatened to fire one of them. And as a matter of fact, two of those Boy Scouts were not invited. One is the Secretary of State. Mr. Tillerson is supposedly considering resigning because of telling friends because of Trump's unbelievable unprofessional conduct and behavior that he considers a danger to the country, and he wants no part of it. So Tillerson may be quitting. That may be why he wasn't invited. And secondly, Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions, also an Eagle Scout, and Jeff Sessions wasn't invited as well because Trump talks a tough game, but he won't face tiny Barney Fife and tell him what he really thinks.
Well, he's beleaguered.
Yes, he was. By the way, beleaguered. How many, raise your hand if you think Trump knows what beleaguered means or if somebody gave him that word.
He knows words.
He's got the best words. I'm still confused about why the crowd was applauding and chanting where they were. I don't know that 12 to 18-year-olds are connected politically, and somebody was coaching them up. Trump said that we needed more loyalty. This is after he was stabbing Jeff Sessions in the back and stabbed Sean Spicer in the back repeatedly. He marveled at his crowd size and attacked the fake media. I think, what can inspire the kids? Because out of those 24,000 kids, there's probably a few out there who want to be journalists.
Right.
Right.
Or
so
politicians,
what could
not
inspire the kids more than having the president say fake media?
Right.
Fake media. Fake news.
Of course.
Trump attacked Obama for failing to address the Boy Scouts. Now, that's true. He did a video message in 2010, but he did never make a jamboree. I'm not quite sure what that has to do with anything, but Trump loves trashing other people.
Oh, completely. Having covered him, I mean, when I was at the RNC last year and having been at some of these political speeches, he'll always refer to the media and then tell the cameras what to shoot.
Yeah.
Shoot over here,
yeah.
Turn
yeah.
those cameras around. So for someone who doesn't want the media there and doesn't like the media, he sure doesn't mind dictating.
Can you imagine a world where Trump didn't have media coverage? He'd lose his mind.
Oh, completely.
He told a long, embarrassing story about a cocktail party that alluded to sex. He also told the boys to take a lesson and not lose your momentum in life unless you do. He went through his victories state by state, and he thanked his audience for voting for him in November, which is hilarious because majority of them weren't of voting age.
How about that? He's doing another campaign-style rally tonight in Ohio.
President of the United States. Somebody wake me up. It's got to be a bad dream. It's 8:58. CLTV joins us next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show continues. We're live on CLTV, and on the phone is one of the more amazing women in a time where nothing makes your blood boil faster in the media if you start hearing this fake news nonsense. Linda Schuster has lived an absolutely amazing life as the Wall Street Journal reporter and somebody that's lived as a foreign correspondent and covered the stuff she's covered and dodged missiles in Lebanon and lived the life she's lived. I'm glad she's written this book. The book's called Dirty Wars, The Life and Times of a War Correspondent Turned Ambassador. Let me get her on the phone here if I can figure out which button to push. Turned ambassatrix. And good morning to you, Linda.
Good morning.
I've been a fan for a long time, and it's nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
So, listen, the most riveting accounts in your book include the first, I would say, third of the book, where you talk about a man who chased you for a long time and finally convinced you to marry him on the road, and you lost him as he was on another assignment. Tell me about your first husband.
I was very fortunate to have met and fallen in love with Dial Torgerson of the Los Angeles Times, who was a veteran war correspondent. And we met while I was working for the Wall Street Journal at the time, and we met while covering the wars in Central America, fell in love, and were married in an impromptu ceremony in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, the capital of Honduras. And then, sadly, 10 months after we married, he and a photographer were traveling on the Honduran-Nicaraguan border when their car went over a landmine.
The nightmare that that is could have ended things for you. I mean, it could take somebody and go, I never want to see anybody who does what we do. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to hide. What kept you going?
Well, part of it is that you have no choice but to keep going. Part of it is a real commitment to doing this kind of work. And the knowledge that basically Dial died doing what he wanted to do. I mean, this was his life. This was his love. And I couldn't conceive of a different kind of life at that point.
The book, again, is called Dirty War is Polished Silver. Why polished silver?
Well, because I ultimately was very fortunate to fall in love again, this mm-hmm. time with an American diplomat whom I married. And so I became the wife of a U.S. ambassador, and there's a lot of polished silver and a lot of silver to polish in those houses abroad.
It's really no one I've ever known, and maybe you know somebody because it's your life, but who else has had your life? Who else goes from that extreme to this extreme?
I don't know. That was certainly one of the impetuses to write the book. But, yeah, to be, it's like being on both sides of Alice's looking glass, and it was pretty bizarre.
Linda, also a big fan. I think you're an incredible writer and storyteller. Talk about some of the challenges of being a female correspondent, all the different places where you
were. Well, yeah, and especially when you started.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And how things have changed.
Yeah. Well, basically, because I worked mainly in the developing world, I found that being a woman mostly was an advantage. These were very traditional societies that were generally very solicitous toward women. So I could often get a foot in the door for interviews that my male colleagues couldn't. The real challenge was, having gotten there, I wasn't always taken seriously because I was just a woman. So it was incumbent upon me to try to convince these interviewees that I meant business. The only real disadvantage I ever experienced had to do with bodily functions. Men can finesse those much easier than women.
Right. And that's exactly what I was thinking of, too. Not just so much, you know, the customs like the hijab or where you'd have to, you know, dress differently
right.
than, say, a male correspondent would. But things of that sort that guys don't have to deal with.
Right. Absolutely. And it's much easier for them to deal with.
True.
Which part of the world did you find to be the most relaxing, and which part was the most nerve-wracking in the midst of working these beats?
Relaxing. I never worked a relaxing beat. That was not part of my vocabulary. I think for sheer terror, covering the Civil War in Beirut was the hands down the scariest place I've ever been, just because it was so capricious. In some wars, it's sort of you're in the capital and the war is out there and you can either choose to go to it or not. But in Beirut, they very kindly brought the war to you. So that was terrifying. As far as the most gratifying story, South Africa and the fall of apartheid.
Yeah, sure.
The most amazing story I ever covered.
Linda, in which countries have you seen the most change as far as, you know, going from maybe third world beliefs to maybe more modern day?
I'd say, well, just because the contrast is so stunning is probably Africa. I mean, the development there has just been amazing. Amazing, but with tremendous setbacks also. But so many countries sort of emerged as democratic countries in the last 20 years. I think that's been the place that we've seen the most change.
What do you tell your kid about your career?
I tell her, don't do it.
Right?
Yeah. It's interesting because I actually never told her that I had been married before until she was 8 years old. She's 20 years old now.
Wow.
And it's just one of those things where it's like telling your kid about sex. You either do it when they're very young and watching Sesame Street, so they say, oh, okay, and then go back to watching Big Bird, and it just becomes part of their inner landscape.
Yep.
or you really have to wait until they're much older, because how do you tell a small child, yes, the man I fell in love with and loved most in the world was blown up by a landmine?
Did that, you know, I can't imagine that conversation, obviously, but did that change her view of the world? Does that make a kid scared? Or because you were telling her at an age where she could maybe ask the appropriate questions, you did it at the right time?
I obviously didn't characterize it that way.
Well, no, I know you wouldn't say those words specifically, but you understand the question.
Right. I think it was just more, I think from her perspective, it was just much more a shock that I'd had a previous life. But then again, all of our children are shocked that we might have had a life before them.
Yeah, no, that's very, very true. What does your daughter want to do?
She actually wants to be she's in urban studies. She's all about social justice.
I mean, God bless her.
Her father is a former diplomat and her mother is a former journalist. And she grew up, unfortunately, hearing these two parents yell at the television. And she's all about social justice.
I don't want to get too caught up in the polished silver end of this, but I just am curious how Linda Schuster, award-winning, fabulous war correspondent, falls for the Easy Life ambassador. And I'm being smart-ass when I say Easy Life. But this is not a guy I would think that would have attracted you. Was he chasing you? How did this work?
I went in to interview him. When I was transferred from Beirut to South America, I went in to interview the so-called experts at the State Department, and one of whom was the Argentine desk officer who tried to pick me up during the interview. And oddly enough, and this is terribly bizarre, both he and my first husband had tried to date the same women when they were both posted in Israel, one as a journalist, one as a diplomat, neither of whom was successful.
Small world of guys with no game.
So that was the pickup line that he had known my first husband. But deadpan sense of humor, and that'll get me in every time.
I just, did it change your view of that job? Because I would think as a war correspondent, you go to these various places and you see the embassy gates and the fabulous houses, and you think, well, they should work for a living.
Don't you know it?
Yeah.
No, it really didn't. I'm sad to say. I think that they're just like there are really good butchers.
Yeah.
And really bad butchers there, and not that I'm not trying to draw an analogy here between diplomacy and butchery. There are really good diplomats and really mediocre diplomats.
That's true.
Having said that, I think the institution itself, you live in such a rarefied bubble abroad with your big houses and your servants and all of that. I think they could do so much better a job sort of getting down and getting dirty and getting out to meet the real people of their countries.
It's a fascinating book and a fascinating life. It's called Dirty Wars, Polished Silver. Linda Schuster, The Life and Times of a War Correspondent Turned Ambassadrix. Now, before I let you go, I've been accused of being cynical because of my deep-seated disbelief in both parties now. But at the same time, I'm trying to encourage people to stop bitching and get involved and vote in primaries, and don't allow yourself to be gerrymandered out of the process and shake the game up. Do you have optimism about where we are? And I mean, in the big picture?
Well, I have optimism because for whatever you think of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, they have been doing some amazing reporting, which is so important for an educated electorate. That gives me hope. What doesn't give me hope is that we are not getting out and voting. And I've worked in parts of the world where people died for that right. And if there's anything I would want to see change in this country, it's to have people go out and get involved and vote.
Yeah, it's more than a right. It's more than a privilege. I think it's your duty. Dirty Wars, Polished Silver, Linda Schuster. You know what I say? Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. And if you're a war correspondent listening, get three. You might leave one on a bus.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. 9:21. Back in a moment on 720 WGN. The text question was, can you come up with a slogan more lame than what the Democrats came up with yesterday to rebrand their party? Their slogan is, the Democrats, a better deal. Text question was, come up with a slogan more lame. Here's a few. Help!
That'd work.
We're the Democrats. True. Help!
That's true for either party right now, I think.
How about this? The Democrats. I called do-over. The Democrats. Same crap, different day. And the leader in the clubhouse, the Democrats, support a donkey, not an ass.
I like that one.
Again, that's at 312-981-7200. There was another one that was more of a question than a slogan. It was the Democrats, you want spineless or incompetent? You decide.
Oh, that's pretty good, too.
So pick one. Right now in Washington, we are waiting for what the vote count will be, which won't happen until later today, for a procedural vote on health care and whether the health care bill, the bill to be determined, will go to the floor of the Senate for debate. We're going to see if we get Senator Durbin on this week to talk about that as well as the process continues. Senator John McCain is scheduled to fly back from Arizona. Has it been a week? Has it even been a week or is it last
week? It was last week for sure, but I don't know.
It's been a week, has it? Has it been a week since he had the brain surgery?
Can you believe that, man? You want to talk about tough?
It's unbelievable. A piece of his frontal lobe was removed. And as I understand it, the concern is when you fly, the doctor said, you know, he can fly. But the concern is because that particular piece of your head was opened up, when the pressure changes in a pressurized cabin, could be extremely painful. Think about when you're flying with a cold.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the worst.
You fly with a cold and you're landing and your ears start going nuts. Right. You know, the air pressure differences. So the idea is you've opened up a piece of your head for surgery and the air pressure changes could be such. It could be severely painful. But he's coming back.
Yeah, he is.
And his health care vote is such a political move. It has nothing to do with making life better for you as a listener, as an American. It's just politics. Mm-hmm. So this political move, it'd be great if he came back and voted no.
I know, right? And then gets back on the plane.
And goes back.
Like Mike, kind of like mic drop, gets back on the plane.
Yeah, exactly. On the other side of town is the president still trashing Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Do you think Jeff Sessions should quit? What would you do if your boss constantly publicly ripped you? Now, there's very few businesses where this applies. You have to be in some sort of celebrity status, right? Happens in sports. In sports, back in the 80s, you'd had George Steinbrenner ripping the Yankees in public all the time. Ditka would go after the Bears fairly publicly. What would you do if you had your boss ripping you constantly? Would you quit or would you stay?
I'd cry.
Okay. Well, that's an option.
No. What he should do is stand tough. Stand tough. Let it, you know, let
make
it
him fire
roll
you.
Off. Exactly.
Make him fire you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he wants him to quit.
Don't give him the easy route. He's trying to force you out. Barney Fife, stand up. Make him fire you. Dave, what would you do?
I would stay.
You got to stay.
I would stay.
You got to suck.
Yeah, try to guts it out. Yeah,
it'll suck, but you got to stay.
You got to be the bigger man or woman.
Cry and then stay. Yeah.
And the fact is, Trump knows nothing about policy, so it's not like he can interfere with the job you're doing. Now, I'm no Jeff Sessions fan. Jeff Sessions wants to restart the war on pot.
Right.
I don't smoke pot. I never have smoked pot. But I think in your big world of wasted dollars, wasting money on a war on pot would be right up there.
Steve, what would you do if your boss didn't like you?
Oh, I'm not leaving.
Publicly humiliated
fire me.
You.
That's just bring it on. Unfathomable.
It's before.
No.
That couldn't happen.
I spent 2 years, and there was a little bit of public ripping here, but I spent 2 years here during the dark days when the guys from the Star Wars bar ran this place of dealing with that every day.
Yeah.
You don't leave. No. You make them fire you.
Weather the storm.
Now they did.
Yeah.
And then I left.
But you're back.
But I got to come back.
That's right.
And thank you for that. We're coming up on 9:30, and let's get the big story. We need a break before we do that? Big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Jay Ferguson, Thunder Island. This is such a good song. He shouldn't have quit right after he released it. He did, right? I mean, I never heard of him after that. 9:40. This is like really cool woman hour, right?
That's right.
Well, I mean, every hour is really cool woman hour, but I'm just saying we're featuring two very cool women.
Yes.
Ms. Schuster from the Wall Street Journal in her book, which a couple of you have texted about, saying, what was it again? Dirty Wars and Polished Silver earlier this hour. And now Carmen Ash joins us. The book's called I Have Purpose, another story of another woman with another amazing life. Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am great. You had a very rough growing up period. You were abused physically and emotionally. End up being abused by a boyfriend who doesn't want to end the relationship. He'd rather see you dead than alive. Finally meet the man of your dreams, the love of your life. He has some sort of dispute, as I understand it, with a family member and ends up in jail. Is that right?
Yes, it was a family friend.
All right, so you go through work, and every year at the Christmas party at work, as you write, Tony's not there. A drunken coworker finally confronts you on it, and you have to tell this person, well, he's not here because he's in jail. He finally gets out of jail, and he dies of a heart attack. I mean, the fact that you put one foot in front of the other, no wonder your book's called I Have a Purpose. God bless you.
Thank you. It's been a difficult journey, to say the least. But I've always managed to keep my faith, and that was the foundation my mother instilled in us. We were raised Catholic, very traditional. So I've been through a lot, but I've always managed to keep my faith and hope. Hope always got me through these difficult obstacles. I was molested by my oldest brother at the age of 7. And finally, when my parents allowed me to have a boyfriend, he was actually, he became a stalker because he was extremely abusive. He wouldn't let me go, and he literally cut me, broke my nose, threw, you know, I was, my head through the window. It was very, very difficult. But then I met Tony, and everything changed, and he made me believe in men again, and that not all men are bad. And I lost them about 5 years ago. And my purpose now is to encourage and empower others, because we all have a story. It's what you do with your story that determines your character.
Do you think women have a more difficult time with accepting the fact that you have worth and a purpose, because men, we tend to walk around more oblivious and maybe more cocky about life?
Absolutely. That's an understatement.
Well, I'd love to hear you laugh because there's a knowingness in your laugh, right? But everybody's got a purpose. Everybody's got a purpose. And I think there's just such inspiration in your book to find a purpose against all the odds that you faced and to deal with the abuse. Now, you talked about how many kids do you have?
I have 2. I have a boy and a girl.
And they've got to be very proud of you.
They are, you know, they were my purpose and my strength and my inspiration in one of my darkest hours, and they still are. They the reason I got up in the morning and I kept going, because my mother always told me, you have to move on. These kids deserve better, you know. So they are in me. I live by them, and I wanted better for my children. So I knew I had to get myself together and get out of my situation to better them.
Now, I don't want to give away one of the key stories in the book, because, you know, I want people to go out and get the book. And as always, get 2 copies in case you're careless and lose the first one. I Have a Purpose is the book. But how long did you have with Tony before he passed, from the time he got out of prison?
12 years.
And that's not fair. It's not fair in any way, shape, or form. But
it's we were finally thinking, you know, the Disney Happily Ever After, and, you know, the kids were gone. They had finished college. They were on their own. And here we are, ready to regain and relive our life, and he had a heart attack, and I got left alone again.
And thank God your kids are there, and your job. What did you pour yourself into after he died? It was just all about work and family?
I was lost for a while. I was lost for a while in terms of, what am I going to do next? Mm-hmm. I needed to channel all this love that I have for this man into something positive. But I also needed to have an income coming in. So I went back and I was a practice manager for a radiology office. In the interim, I was just writing. I was just writing and I started living again. I was alive these last couple of years, but not living. And now I feel my purpose is to empower and inspire others, because no matter what your circumstances is, you never allow it to derail you from your true potential. And just to let people know that, yes, it is difficult, but you don't let it break you down.
She owns a consulting firm now. It's kicking back part of the proceeds from the book to various charities that she supports as well. The author, again, is Carmen Ash. The book's called I Have a Purpose.
Carmen, congratulations on all of your success. You really kind of rose through the waters of adversity. What would you say to women who say, well, you're strong. I don't have that kind of strength. I can't do that.
I would say we all have that voice within us. We do have it. But what you need is support. Support is extremely important, and knowing your worth, your self-awareness, that I am better than this situation. No, I do not deserve to get beat up. No, he should not have molested me, and not blame yourself. You know, the first thing is loving yourself before you can go on to the next level, and we all have that within us.
I really appreciate you sharing your story and your time. I hope everybody gets the book, and I wish you nothing but success and all the years of happiness you still have to come.
Absolutely. And I encourage the listeners to go on my website, www.ihaveapurpose.com, and share your story. Your story may make a difference to someone else without you even realizing it.
Ihaveapurpose.com. It's a great point. People can go there and read these empowering stories from other people and see yourself in them and push yourself forward from them.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you so much.
9:51, Bill and Wendy coming up. A couple of texters, too, before we're done on 720 WGN. A little bit of sound before we go. This insane campaign speech, there's no other way to describe it, that Donald Trump made to the Boy Scouts yesterday. You can't make it up. You just cannot make it up. 12 to 18-year-old Boy Scouts, of course, what would you do 6 or 7 months later? Let's talk about the election.
But do you remember that incredible night with the maps? And that map was so red, it was unbelievable, and they didn't know what to say. This is a lot of people. Turn those cameras back there, please. By the way, what do you think the chances are that this incredible, massive crowd, record-setting, is going to be shown on television tonight? 1% or zero? President Trump spoke before a small crowd of Boy Scouts today. That is some crowd. Fake media, fake news.
I'm just wondering, does anyone know, Bill Leff is here, Wendy's here, you guys may know, what is the record for a president of the United States making a fool out of himself in front of children? Is it 40,000 people?
About 40,000, yeah.
Is it 40,000?
Yeah.
Trump told a lovely story to the kids as well. This is about William Levitt in a cocktail party at the National Boy Scout Jamboree. Oh, the kids eat this stuff up.
And I saw him at a cocktail party. It was a long time ago. Sold his company for a tremendous amount of money. And he went out and bought a big yacht. And he had a very interesting life. I won't go any more than that because you're Boy Scouts, so I'm not going to tell you what he did. Should I tell you? Should I tell you? Oh, you're Boy Scouts, but you know life. You know life. He so badly wanted. He got bored with this life of yachts and sailing and all of the things he did in the south of France and other places. You won't get bored, right? You know, truthfully, your workers, you'll get bored too, believe me. Of course, having a few good years like that isn't so bad.
Three words, up the meds.
Can we go for snow cones now?
And I still don't, I still don't understand. When you listen to the reaction, there had to be an applause light, or there had to be people pumping these kids up, because why would they be involved in this almost Hitler youth sort of enthusiasm?
There was, a,
there was a kid behind him who was honored. He was like Boy Scout of the Year or something like this. So he's standing behind Trump, and all through the speech, he gets more and more bored. And at some point, he's reading a book at some point, taking pictures of the audience at some point.
Actually, I think he finished his Eagle Scout project during the speech. And on a separate note, did you guys hear this cut six? Cut six. Did you guys hear Jared Kushner's voice? This is like a Batman villain. Nobody had heard him talk, right?
Yeah.
This is what... Now, Jared Kushner, who weighs, dripping wet, about 115 pounds, he is going to go around to the rest of the world, the despots and the evildoers of the world, and he's going to solve the world's problems. That body, that face, and this voice.
Let me be very clear. I did not collude with Russia, nor do I know of anyone else in the campaign who did so. I had no improper contacts. I have not relied on Russian funds for my businesses. And I have been fully transparent in providing all requested information. Donald Trump had a better message and ran a smarter campaign, and that is why he won. Suggesting otherwise ridicules those who voted for him.
Oh.
No, it really doesn't. No, it really doesn't, because I don't blame anyone. We all have friends that voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. I don't blame anyone that voted for Trump, because when someone lies to you, it's not your fault. It's the fault of the person that lied. By the way, that's Chief White House Advisor Woody Allen for Donald Trump. You just can't make it up. Again, best slogan from the Democrats. Did you guys hear the Democrats just
very creative.
Oh, what is the slogan?
The Democrats' new slogan.
What is it?
A better deal.
Oh, that's great.
A better deal. It actually comes with the optional Maria Menounos laugh. Yeah.